It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday the 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, President Obama had a closed meeting with national security and public health advisors on the Ebola epidemic. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has said that there are currently no Ebola cases in the country of Mali, where a toddler recently died of the virus. But everyone who came in contact with the child is now being sought or monitored. Colin Baker is a freelance journalist working in Mali's capital of Bamako. Colin, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
What kinds of tech solutions has Mali deployed to try and stop Ebola from spreading?
There are some interesting technological solutions, sometimes deployed by some of the smaller, more nimble nonprofits. For instance, a group called MUSO, which means women, has actually done a text message interactive system where they are able to distribute a phone number by which people can text in for free and receive information about Ebola. And this is really so that people know that A, Ebola is real, but also how to recognize it, how to prevent its spread.
Now, I know you tweeted out a photo of a phone for an Ebola hotline. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so one of these measures has been something called the Ebola phone. I literally saw this. It looks like an office phone with a keypad and then a sticker on it that says Ebola phone. These have been distributed supposedly all across the threatened regions, the border regions of the country, and hopefully create some sort of a first-line alert for the future cases of Ebola, especially to answer questions that doctors and nurses might have about symptoms.
All the data that's actually being collected at the clinics, will that help inform how we can respond to a crisis like this going forward?
Yes, I would say so. One thing that the CDC has deployed is something called EpiInfo, which is an epidemiological platform online, which allows these case managers to log all the information they're getting about Ebola in the field. Mali may very well get through its current outbreak. And so the question is then, how does it prevent the next one? And are the tools in place so that the alerts could come faster?
But some of the data is not traveling outside of these clinics, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. And this is something I've only begun investigating. But one of the problems with an Ebola clinic is that nothing comes out. Everything that goes in is destroyed. I mean, it's a very dangerous disease. And it's important when dealing with medical patients to be able to take down the information about what you're giving them, how much water you're using, to try to understand how the case was managed. That information can't come out physically. So other options are to use iPads, which are actually destroyed with the center itself, or perhaps even to shout across the precipice of the center to somebody taking notes outside, or to store in your memory the sorts of treatment protocols you may have used or vital signs and write those down when you get out. I mean, these are very difficult environments to work in. So obviously, all of those are subject to the memories and to the fortitude of the individual healthcare worker at the front line.
Colin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Whether we're talking politics or something else, data visualization has had an incredible evolution and impact in recent years on how we see the world. Visual arts professor Stephen Heller is the author of a new book called Infographics Designer's Sketchbooks. Stephen, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Define infographic. Because I feel like it, you know, it could be a lot of different things, right?
It is a lot of different things. It's a catch-all for data visualization, which is a catch-all for how do you put a lot of different bits of information or narratives into a visual form.
When you see an infographic that really speaks to you, what job is it doing?
It's conveying a message that is too complex if I'm just reading it straight out. The best analogy is to a side of beef. It tells you where the butt is, where the front is, where the middle is.
Okay.
It gives you all of that stuff that a biologist or a medical person would want, but it makes it accessible to the average consumer.
Do you think part of it is also that the consumer, the average consumer, is actually supposed to take away the same message? Or is it more like a piece of art in some ways and that different people will actually take different messages from it?
It's intention is not to be art.
Okay.
That it may be a consequence, but the intention is for the reader to take away more or less a singular message.
How has new technology changed how we can put these things together?
Well, the technology has really been the spur for infographics. There were infographics going back to the 20s, perhaps even earlier than that. Now we have so much media that you can see that it's encouraged, it's triggered more of a need for this material. And the technology is there to make it more kinetic than ever before.
Stephen Heller is co-chair of the MFA Designer as Author and Entrepreneur program at the School of Visual Arts in New York. He's also the co-author of Infographics Designers Sketchbooks. Stephen, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And remember a few days back when we talked about iDiversicons, that little startup that's trying to create a more racially diverse emoji universe? Well, this week, the organization that sets international standards for characters like emoji, the Unicode Consortium, proposed a plan that would add new skin tones to emoji. That means tech companies like Apple can now build more diversity into their options, expected sometime next year. Good news for anyone and everyone who uses emoji. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.